You've seen the videos, the fights breaking out in airplanes, at airports, and restaurants, and parking lots. You've heard the stories here on KNX of increasing road rage incidents, and of course, the horrible incident of the six-year-old boy killed in the midst of that road rage gunfire on an Orange County freeway. Even as the COVID pandemic is easing, and things are slowly, slowly getting back to normal, why are we, as a group, as a society, so angry these days? We'll go in depth. The future of the filibuster in the U.S. Senate might be determined today in a series of key test votes on contentious legislation. And how will Raiders defensive end Carl Nassib be received in NFL locker rooms? His groundbreaking decision to come out is a big announcement today that he's gay.
California's first to go at a vaccine verification system, the online one, barely got up and running before there were problems, so we'll explain that. The legal marijuana market here has been going for several years now. It is the recipient of a bailout from the state. Why can't a multi-billion dollar industry run smoothly? And the UN looking to declare the Great Barrier Reef off of Australia's coast as endangered.
We start with anger. And a whole lot of it. Dr. Joshua Kaplow is a clinical psychologist, behavioral scientist, professor of psychology at the University of Alabama. Doctor, thank you for joining us on In Depth. Anger and a lot of it. Can we blame much of it on the lockdown and all the stress from COVID? What's your take?
Yes, I think we can. I think there's two things, though, to keep in mind that are very important. As much as we're seeing it, it's what we're seeing is a fraction of the larger population. And I know we all know this, but we have to remind ourselves that the outrageous incidents that we're seeing don't reflect how everybody's feeling. And in fact, if you look at the majority of people are not this way. That being said, the increased incidence in road rage, et cetera, is definitely indicative of more stress, of more agitation than we would expect. And yes, absolutely, the changes from the quarantines and the pandemic, all of that is absolutely driving it.
You think we came out of this with shorter fuses than before, or it was such a stressful year plus that we just don't have as much room to give other people? Because it's happening where other people are around. So road rage, other cars, airports crammed into a tiny plane or an area like that, and then people start fighting.
Yeah, so I think absolutely. So one thing is, and I know this may sound strange, we're out of practice in terms of interacting with people. It does not take that long. And a year is a long time to not be engaged with people on a regular basis, both in a peaceful manner and in a conflictual manner. And so we're absolutely clunky at what we're doing. Social interactions are not as easy. And as you said, behind us, we have a major stressor. Anybody who's gone through this pandemic and said it was not that big of a deal has got something wrong with them. This was a major stressor, even if the illness did not impact us directly. Our lives were impacted directly, and that puts people on edge.
What can we do to help deal with all this built-up anger?
Yeah. What I'm cautioning people is, number one, take it easy out there in terms of how much and how frequently you're interacting. I mean, again, it's almost like getting back into an exercise program. And people hear that and they think, okay, that's ridiculous. I'm just talking to people. But what we're also noticing is that when we're interacting, we're exhausted. Give yourself a little bit of pace. B, don't be so quick to stay in the game when there's conflict. It's okay to pull yourself back out, to not engage in it. And then the other thing is too, is it's going to take a while to transition to normality, to adaptation. And being a part of an overall conflict is not going to do you any good in the moment as we're seeing.
Continuing our conversation about a very angry America, investigators from the California Highway Patrol, the CHP, looking into the possibility that Marcus Ehres, the man charged with shooting and killing a six-year-old boy in a road rage incident in Orange County on a freeway, might have been involved in several other road rage fights. There are anecdotal reports that road rage incidents are up right across the country. Dr. Joshua Kaplow, a clinical psychologist, behavioral scientist, professor of psychology at the University of Alabama, remains with us. on In Depth. Doc, very concerning in that in many of these cases, it's just a small incident that can accelerate to a potentially very dangerous, in some cases, a deadly incident. This road rage case we were talking about, where this young child was killed in the backseat of his mom's car, apparently one driver flipped the finger to the other, and that's what led to it.
Yeah. It is so tragic, and we hear this all the time. And this is one of those situations where people don't really flip and they don't just break. What ends up happening is the stress builds and builds and builds, and they either have an inability to or are not willing to pull themselves back. You hear people all the time, they say, oh my God, it just flipped. And it doesn't work that way. There was, you know, the flipping of the finger, and then anger builds and stress levels build. And in all those situations, there is an opportunity to pull it back. Some people don't have the ability. Some people choose to not pull it back. And these are the extreme examples of what happens to a lot of people in conflict situations, whether it's at the workplace or on the freeway.
Yeah, I was going to say and ask you on that kind of a note, are we also bad at letting go day to day? You know, we carry it from one day to the next. And then, you know, by Thursday, if you're having a bad week, you're ready to throw something at somebody.
You absolutely are. I mean, our ability to control our impulses or control our emotions is something that is tested in stressful situations. And we were talking about before the break, when you throw this whole pandemic, and it's not so much, guys, the pandemic, it's the change in our lives. For some people, it's loss of a job. For some people, it is illness in the family. For some people, it's just the stress of having kids around. That's been going on for a year. And as you said, you're carrying it not just from Monday to Thursday, you're carrying it from month to month. And if we're not actively working to control our anger, to pull it down each day and pull the stress down each day, it's got to go someplace. It doesn't just dissipate on its own.
Do we need lawmakers in this country to come down harder on things like fights on airlines?
You know, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a politician. I'm a psychologist. But when I see that kind of lack of control, lack of civility to the point of physical violence on an airline, yes, there is absolutely zero reason for engaging in that kind of behavior in general, but particularly on an airline. And I know the airlines are working to have huge fines and ban people from flying forever. But my message is pretty simple to people. If you don't have the ability to control your emotions to the point where you have to engage in physical harm, you shouldn't be flying. And you should seek help from a mental health professional.
We had a story running this morning about workplaces kind of warning people gently, hey, let's brush up on our etiquette a little bit because we're all going to come back to the offices. And, you know, the crude joke you told your brother because he was in your quarantine pod is not going to fly with a lot of your coworkers.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Yes, absolutely. And one thing that I am seeing, I work with a lot of HR directors in organizations. We have to remember that as much as we would talk about being exhausted, about being virtual and being on Zoom all day, and that made us tired, engaging in person again is something that is cognitively or mentally exhausting. And so when we talk about the conflicts, when we're tired, when we're exhausted, our ability to regulate our emotions is not as good. So what you're going to see in this workplace is, number one, people kind of getting more stressed because they're just mentally tired. And number two, to your point, sort of a needing a refresher course in workplace etiquette.
Dr. Joshua Klapow, clinical psychologist, University of Alabama. Doctor, thanks.